Hello, my name is Linda Sezik, and I'm a practicing nephrologist in Durham, North Carolina. This is a Medscape video where I'm going to talk about medical errors in chronic kidney disease. And the reason that I'm going to talk about that is because I recently had an experience where I suddenly became aware of how much being proactive about medical errors really could impact life in a positive way. So first, the data. I am motivated by this by a controversy that existed in the literature about 10 years ago, where there was a debate about the utility of screening for chronic kidney disease. Why would someone want to screen for a disease that they can't treat was the argument that was put forth in an opinion piece in the British Medical Journal. Well, there are a lot of reasons. Even though there's not a dedicated treatment for kidney disease, there are treatments for diabetic kidney disease, hypertensive kidney disease, IgA nephropathy. There are treatments for specific kidney disease, but the argument was put forth that merely an elevated creatinine that is stable does not justify giving a patient the anxiety about having another disease for which no treatment will be instituted. Well, I'd like to talk about medical errors. The frequency of medical errors is elevated in people with chronic kidney disease, and this is not really a new bit of news, although there's been a lot of publications recently in the last 2 years about the frequency of medical errors in people with chronic kidney disease. And that is, I think, underscores the reason to really know whether or not that creatinine of 1.0, which, that's technically within normal limits, could represent kidney disease in certain selected populations. So the take-home message of this will be, when we get to the end of the video, will be proactive. Make sure, if you're a patient or a family member, that you know your kidney function and don't be afraid to ask about it. If you're a practitioner, the take-home message will be make sure your patients know their kidney function so that when you're not there, they can say, hey, is this being dosed for my level of kidney function? That's going to be the take-home message. So how many people with kidney disease know they have kidney disease? Well, there are a few articles by a researcher by the name of Laura Plantanga. The most poignant of which was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine in 2008, that show that the answer is not as many as you'd like. People with stage 1 and 2 kidney disease, only about 4 or 5% knew that they had kidney disease. People with stage 3, 7.5%. And people with stage 4 kidney disease, very limited levels of kidney function, GFRs in the 15 to 30 range, 40% of them knew they had it, which means 60% of them didn't know they had it. And for those drugs that are cleared by the kidney, to have 60% of people potentially on full-dose drugs or drugs not appropriately reduced could be somewhat problematic. How many medications do people with chronic kidney disease take? Well, the number is quite large, because to get chronic kidney disease, you generally have to have an underlying condition that has affected your blood vessels in some way. So you're taking medications for heart, for blood pressure, for diabetes, etc. The most recent article that I could find that quantified this was published in, I'm sure there are others, but was published in 2014, that said that the average number was 9.47 medications per patient. That's a lot of medicines. That's a lot of pill bottles to keep straight, with drug names becoming increasingly complex and sometimes multiple day dosing. There is very good literature that shows that the compliance of medications just drops precipitously, like a roller coaster at Carowinds, the more pills that you need to take per day, particularly the more times you need to take them per day. So compliance and medication errors are things that we just cannot ignore. Now, medical errors. Let's talk about what a medical error is. This is a big area of controversy. there are a number of authors that have published very courageously the percent, the proportion of medical errors that they are seeing within their healthcare settings. And I think that this is very brave and truly altruistic of them. It's easy to publish when you're doing patients, when you're changing a disease course in a positive way, to have the courage to go in and understand how your healthcare setting may or may not be attacking medical errors in the most aggressive way is a very courageous thing. Now, there's controversy about, is dosing a penicillin, amoxicillin, too high a medical error? Does it have a true impact if someone gets a higher dose of amoxicillin for an upper respiratory infection? That aside, I think that the numbers speak for themselves, that there's an underlying systemic theme here globally, and I'm going to tell you about articles from three different continents, that tells you that we still need to put better safety mechanisms in place to guard against medicines not being administered as per the package insert in people with chronic kidney disease. So through a quick search of the literature over the last year, 6 months, I found three unique articles that really are no different from a lot of the articles that have been published over the last 10 years that talk about medical errors, but first come at it from a global perspective. One was from Canada, Alberta. The other was from a tertiary care hospital in China. And then the final one that I just want to talk about briefly is from a healthcare setting in Pakistan. They all had the same theme. And because of that, I think that this is a global issue that we need to attack within our healthcare family, irrespective of borders or continents, really. The population from Alberta looked at, within a healthcare setting, this was a study published in the Clinical Journal of the American Society of Nephrology in 2016. They looked at 500,000 patients within a healthcare setting and found that those patients with CKD had a 20% higher risk of having a medical error in the medicines that they were currently taking. People with stage 4 kidney disease, and I'll tell you later why stage 4 kidney disease is so close to my heart, had an 80% increased risk of a medical error as compared to patients with normal kidney function. In a population in a teaching hospital, a tertiary medical care center in China, it was found that about 15% of patients with chronic kidney disease had some inappropriate medication prescribed at an inappropriate dose. There were dose interactions, etc. And then finally, in the series that was published just this year in 2017 from Pakistan, it was reported that only about 42% of patients' medications were properly adjusted for their kidney function, while 58% weren't. So, you know, the variation in numbers aside, this is clearly a global phenomenon, and this is based on outpatient prescriptions. Inpatient, there are not a lot of studies that look at it in the same detail, but I just want to put it out there that the inpatient is experience could even be more important, because the average hospitalization rate of a patient varies with their level of kidney function. Stage 4 kidney disease patients, for example, are hospitalized about 85% per year. So 85% have at least one hospitalization per year. That's pretty much everything. So why is this important to me? Why am I talking about knowing your creatinine, knowing EGFR, making sure that the healthcare team is all aware of that? Well, I have had the pleasure of being daughter to a wonderful woman who unfortunately left us about a month ago. My mother was as beautiful and her sense of humor as bright and expansive as the heavens. She died with a creatinine of 1.3. 77-year-old woman, that gave her stage 4 CKD. She had stage 4 CKD for 7 years. Now, as per the viewpoint in the British Medical Journal 10 years ago, we shouldn't have told her. That would have given her more anxiety, even though her diabetes was being treated, her hypertension was being treated, etc. But no, she knew about it. She had a daughter who was a nephrologist. How could she not know about it? And I used that information to make sure that all of her healthcare providers were on the same page. I kept her medication straight. She was hospitalized 1 to 2 times per year, and we never had a hospital-associated complication. We'd never had a medical error. Why is this important? Well, first of all, they're very common. And second of all, badness can happen as a result of it. Here's my final article that I want to present to you in this video viewpoint. A publication that was just in the British Medical Journal in 2016 by Macquarie et al., where hospitalizations were looked at, medical errors were looked at, and the potential impact of these medical errors was subsequently examined in terms of the cause of death. Now, in this article, the authors claim that medical errors are the number 3 cause of death in the United States. This article, very controversial. And I don't want to get into the specifics and have comments in this forum really talk about the underlying methodology. Although that's important, I think from a patient safety perspective, whether it is the number 3 cause as the authors claim as a result of their analysis, even if it's the number 7 cause or the number 10 cause, these are potentially preventable causes, and these are high enough on the priority list in terms of cardiovascular disease, cancer, medical error, or somewhere in there, that they deserve increased attention. So knowing your kidney function is going to be important because it will impact your ability to identify if you're at higher risk for medical errors and just know to ask more questions. What did I do for my mother? Well, it started out with just an Excel spreadsheet or a grid, a piece of paper, where I listed her medications and then the times of day, and then put the number of pills that she would take at each time of day. So at each column, you could go in and see how many pills she was taking at that time and what other pills she was taking concurrent with a new drug that was being added. I kept this piece of, so I did it in pencil because medications change and you have to go in and erase and add new medications to the list. I would take a picture with my phone. I'd send it to my mother's cell phone. I would keep the original on the refrigerator door. Everything important goes on the refrigerator door. And her doctors would periodically get a copy of this, and this is how we would reconcile her medications. When a new medicine was added, I would add it to the list in front of the doctor so that they could see what other medication she was taking it with at breakfast, at dinner time, at hour of sleep, QHS. It was very powerful. I then used this to fill in her pill boxes. I got one of those pill boxes that had the 4 lines for the 4 times a day that you can take medications. And this grid was always available in case she had to fill her own pill boxes, although for the last 5 years she didn't. She was a very spoiled woman. Or if I wasn't there, then questions could be answered. The one thing that I would encourage all of you family members who don't have daughters who are nephrologists or not nephrologists yourself, ask simple questions. Ask what your kidney function is. Please ask what your kidney function is. You don't have to get into the discussion of kidney disease, what the cause, how can I prevent it from progressing, what about dialysis, all of that. everybody has different kidney function, amounts of kidney function. We're born with different numbers. We have different experiences, different healthcare emergencies that change our kidney function over time. We have birthdays that take away kidney function. So don't be afraid. Know what your kidney function is. Ask if this medication is being dosed appropriately for your level of kidney function. Don't be afraid. You will prevent so many problems. And I wish that you all would have the same health as my mother. When you find out that you have stage 3 or stage 4 kidney disease, that you don't die of it, you learn how to live with it. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned with her, is learning how to live with numbers that are not perfect, but not letting them impact your life. Bless her heart, she wasn't her diagnosis. She was her own beautiful person. And being aware of her numbers, of her GFR and her creatinine, I think really helped to extend her life. It helped to treat her other medical problems even better and to avoid medical complications. Please leave a comment, particularly if you have any other suggestions for patients and patients' families about how they can be proactive in preventing medical errors. With that, I'm Linda Sezik. I'm a practicing nephrologist. I love my patients, and I wish you all a very, very safe day. Bye-bye.